He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Week in Review Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, and our chartered financial analyst, Barry Kite, taking the day off. He'll be back on Monday on the daily show. What a week it has been in the market, but for me, there were no surprises. I pretty much expected it, what happened with the inflation report and the market reaction. And, of course, the market started reacting a long time ago to this fear of rising interest rates. In fact, it actually began 1 year ago, and we'll get into that during today's show. Well, I'm Bill Gunderson. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I was an analyst covering some individual companies early on in my career, traveling around the country, taking ideas to some of the mutual funds and hedge funds in the Bay Area of California. I was in San Diego for many, many years. And my wife and I recently relocated, about 3 years ago, all the way over to the Charleston, South Carolina area, where we really are enjoying life here. Been a money manager for 23 years. I'm a veteran of the 2000 NASDAQ crash, the dot-com crash. I'm a veteran of the 08 financial crisis and bear market. I think I have some good experience there that will help me during this current time in the market. Of course, the whole time has been very valuable. I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. I've had a radio show for the last 23 years on the stock market, but I spend most of my day, about 8-9 hours a day, looking at stock charts and managing money. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. I just need to take a deep breath. It has been quite a wild week in the markets. And if you have a 401k, if you have a Roth, if you have an IRA, if you have money in the market, if you have bonds, if you have bond funds, I think this next 45 or 50 minutes that we have together, maybe I can share some of the insight that I have gleaned over the years as a money manager, 23 years, sitting in the hot seat, making decisions daily on the portfolios that I manage. I'm a portfolio manager to the public. No, I don't have $1 million minimums, and I don't hang around at the fancy country clubs. I am a fee-based money manager to the public, and I've had a radio show for the last 23 years around the country, and I have clients from all over the country who have either heard my show or received my weekly newsletter. I've been writing a newsletter on the market for the last 23 years. I do consider myself a market timer, but I'm not getting in and out of the market many times per year. Oh, no. I've been a bull since 2009. Been in the market for the most part for the last 12 years, and I'll explain why here in a bit. But I do know at some point in time, there will be another recession. There will be another bear market. There's a lot of disturbing signs in the air right now that obviously spell some trouble in certain areas of the market. There's already a bear market in the high PE, high growth, high beta type stocks, the so-called innovation stocks, the companies that have a long time, long duration until they'll be profitable, if they're ever profitable. This was a major theme back in the year 2000. We had many of those dot-com stocks that were roaring, but they had very little prospects of ever being profitable or being cash flow positive. They hope to be someday. But we call those stocks long-duration stocks, and they have taken the brunt of this hit that the market has been taking with a new rising interest rate environment. I'll talk just a minute about the newsletter that I write. I watch these trends very closely. You know, as a professional money manager, I have a very big responsibility as a fiduciary to the clients that have entrusted me with their funds to manage for them. And I manage everything from a very conservative bond fund where we hold the bonds until maturity to a very aggressive emerging growth fund and everything in between. I have an ultra growth portfolio, I have a dividend and growth portfolio, and I have a premier growth, the best growth companies that I can find at any given time portfolio that I manage. And we have been, I showed this in my newsletter last week, and by the way, you can get 2 free weeks of my newsletter if you're listening to my show here today or podcast by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com. We have been in a falling interest rate environment for the last 40 years. I know that sounds almost like an incredible statistic, but it's true. You can go to tradingeconomics.com, for instance, and you can look at a 50-year chart of interest rates, and you can see interest rates spiked in 1982 when they hit about 16% per year on the 10-year treasury. They finally bottomed out, it would appear, maybe about a year ago, probably during COVID, when we went down around 1%. I think we might have even gotten under 1%. So if you look at this chart over the last 40 years, you see a chart that is just sloping downwards as interest rates have gone lower. Well, that's been really good news for people invested in the bond market. You've had the wind at your back. Because as interest rates go lower, bond prices go higher. And you've also had the wind at your back, for the most part, in the stock market. The stock market also likes low interest rates. These companies, publicly traded companies, can borrow at cheaper rates. And we see the multiples on these stocks expand as interest rates go lower. So when you multiply their earnings by a multiplier called a P.E. ratio, you can use a much higher P.E. ratio. Companies will sport a much higher P.E. ratio in a low interest rate environment than in a high interest rate environment. That's just the product of mathematics, okay? As a guy who puts valuations on stocks, we use a discounted cash flow analysis to price stocks and what they're worth. And as the interest rates go up, we use a bigger discount rate and the valuations go down. Well, okay, we've had falling interest rates for 40 years. That's a generation, by the way. 40 years is considered to be a generation. So I would say it's safe to say that we are now a generation of investors that have never seen or never invested in a rising interest rate environment. Is a rising interest rate environment different? Should we be investing differently in a rising interest rate environment as opposed to a falling interest rate environment? Oh, yes, it makes a big difference. It's a major shift that we have recently gone through in the interest rate environment. It really started a year ago. Last February, interest rates started to move higher as the COVID started to kind of abate here around the world. And they started to move higher, anticipating those folks going back to work and that demand being there and not a lot of supply and inflation possibly kicking in. And interest rates went up about 50 basis points a year ago. And what got whacked a year ago? Well, the high PE, high-flying stocks, whether it's biotechs, whether it's electric vehicles, whether it's lithium battery makers, on and on and on. Flying robo-taxis, space shot stocks, those are the stocks that were in harm's way. And as we look 1 year later, the funds, the ETFs, the ARCs of the world, the moonshots of the world, they're down 50 or 60% over the last year. So there has been a bear market taking place. And interest rates have really not gone up that much since then. But now, with inflation in the picture and the Fed lined up to do several rate hikes, we're almost certainly in a new rising interest rate environment. So what do? Well, you can begin by getting this week's newsletter, which I offer 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. I'll be explaining a lot about this new paradigm when we come back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. 23 years in the trenches, watching the market daily, looking at hundreds and hundreds of different charts on a daily basis, and managing portfolios for the public. Well, I've seen a lot in my 23 years. I saw two horrible bear markets. In 2000, you saw the NASDAQ lose almost 80% of its value. And a lot of those hot dot-com stocks of that day never came back. In 2008, 2009, we saw another crash. We saw the S&P go down 53%, and of course that was caused by the financial crisis. It took about 12 or 13 years for the NASDAQ to recover and get back to where it was back in March of 2000. It didn't take that long for the S&P 500, but still a 53% haircut in the S&P 500 is quite a haircut, and it also we had a great recession during that period of time. Now, we fast forward to today. We've been in a 12-year bull market. That's right. It started in March of 2009. And we've seen the Dow Jones Industrial Average go from about 6,600 to 36,000, okay? That's quite a move. You can look that up. You can look at a 12-year chart of the Dow or the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ, because all three have been in a 12-year bull market. And the main underlying reason that those indexes have been in that bull market, number one, earnings in the stock market. In real estate, it's location, location, location. In the market, it's earnings. Earnings for the S&P 500 have been going up for the last 12 years, except for the COVID year. We had one off year, which was an anomaly. We're going to have record earnings again this year. That's what's anticipated right now. And possibly next year. But there's some big what-ifs out there right now. Those earnings can continue to go higher. The bull market could continue. But there's a couple of really, really big threats now that have come along to not only the stock market, but in particular, the bond market. Let's begin with the bond market. As I said, the bond market has had a 40-year, not just a wind at its back, a gale behind its back. Of interest rates have gone from 16% during the Paul Volcker years, when he had to hike that rate way up to get inflation under control, and actually to put the U.S. economy into a recession in order to overcome that inflation problem. Now, we have not had an inflation problem for the last 40 years. We've had a few little spikes here and there, but now we're experiencing inflation like we have not seen for 40 years. as witnessed by Wednesday. Was it Wednesday or Thursday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. Wednesday's report, CPI report, 7.6%, hottest inflation in 40 years. Is the current Fed going to have to do what Paul Volcker did and raise rates and put the U.S. into a recession in order to get inflation under control? Well, we don't know that yet. But the Fed has already made one major mistake last November when they said, we're not worried about inflation. They used the word transitory. It would be a few months and then it would be gone. Wrong. They probably should have acted last November to start getting inflation under control. Instead, they have not raised interest rates at all, and now this is February. But we are expecting a rate hike, the first one in a long, long time, in March. Some people say it will be a 0.25% rate hike. Others are now starting to bet on a 0.5% rate hike because of this odd inflation number that came out this past week. But you can count on one thing. There will be a rate hike in March, and there will be several more after that. And whether or not it gets inflation under control remains to be seen, as inflation is running pretty darn hot right now, and that's bad news for the bond market. Bonds don't like a rising interest rate environment. Now, if you're owning your bonds to maturity, you're going to get back your principal at the end of the term. You're going to get your coupon along the way. Hopefully, the companies that you bought bonds in and lended money to are good, solid companies that will be there when those coupon, when those terms end. But if you own bond funds, that's a different animal. Bond funds go down when interest rates go up. So if you have a portfolio that's full of bond funds, you probably took a massive hit to that portion of your portfolio this past week. And you might say, well, it's going to get better. Interest rates aren't going to go up. Well, they've been coming down for 40 years. We've now made a pivot, which started last February. We have several interest rate hikes out there in the future. And we have an inflation problem. That's not a very good environment. That doesn't give me a lot of comfort owning bond funds. But, you know, you have to do what you want to do, what you got to do. I don't think that bond funds are going to be a very good place to be going forward. That's bond funds, like ETFs or mutual funds. I'm watching Ginny Mae funds get clobbered. I'm watching municipal bond funds get clobbered. I'm looking at U.S. Treasury funds getting clobbered, short-duration funds, long-duration funds, global bond funds. I was shocked to see how much yields are rising around the world. I looked at some of the European bonds. Italy up 50 basis points this past week. Germany up 30 basis points this past week. Argentina bonds going. It's a global problem right now, a rising interest rate environment, which is not good for bond funds. And there's a lot of people out there that have asset allocations. Maybe you're 75, 70. You have a heavy exposure to bond funds if you're in an asset allocation strategy. Maybe you should revisit that and have a look at how much exposure you have to bond funds in this new rising interest rate environment. It's also not a good environment for growth stocks. And the more out there on the spectrum of hoped for growth someday, there's already a bear market. ARK funds is down 55% since the high 1 year ago. The Moonshot Fund is off over 60% since 1 year ago. The prospects do not look good for that area of the market going forward. I'm talking about companies that aren't profitable yet, hoping to be profitable someday. We call those long-duration stocks. They do not do well in a rising interest rate environment. Now that rising interest rate environment is now spreading to more of the well-known tech names, okay? We've seen some big drops this past week in the Facebook. I guess it's made of platforms right now. And we've seen a real chill go through the NASDAQ. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about my prospects going forward for the tech sector and what sectors do well in a rising interest rate environment. Get the newsletter, 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, where obviously the highlight of the week, low light, highlight, whatever way you want to look at it, was the CPI report that came out on Wednesday of this past week, which was much hotter than expected. The market had a huge sell-off on Thursday, and if you want to know what areas of the market are vulnerable to rising interest rates, just look at what got clobbered on Thursday. The bond funds absolutely got clobbered. The high-yield bond funds, otherwise known as junk bonds, were absolutely clobbered on Thursday. The NASDAQ was clobbered on Thursday, and speaking of which, the NASDAQ is pretty heavily weighted towards technology stocks, and you still have some very high P.E. ratios in that tech sector. Amazon's not cheap. I think the P.E. ratio is somewhere in the 50 area. AMD is not cheap. Microsoft is not cheap. Google is not cheap. Facebook got a whole lot cheaper, but it's still not all that cheap. So this contagion, which first hit the long-duration companies that aren't profitable yet, hoping to be profitable someday, they've been in a bear market since last February. That's when that bear market began. And that was a time, last February, when interest rates started to go up, to get out of that area of the market. Many of the ETFs that track that area of the market, or mutual funds, or stocks, are down anywhere from 50% to 60% since then. The Teladocs of the world, the Upworks, the Zoom Information Technologies, the Pelotons. The stocks that did well during COVID, number one, but number two, they're also stocks that, you know, are perceived to have really bright futures and big growth ahead, but they're not profitable yet. That's a problem in a rising interest rate environment. There are the first ones in the crosshairs of sell-offs as interest rates go higher. Okay, now, as it becomes more and more apparent and more obvious, we've turned a corner. That 40-year rate cycle is now entering into a new rate cycle. We don't know how long it's going to last. We don't know how high rates are going to go. Paul Volcker had to take the Fed fund rates up to 20% to get inflation under control. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but there is a precedence for that. It's all going to depend on how much inflation continues, and if these little minor rate hikes that our Fed is going to start doing in March will handle the situation, and if inflation will go away. We don't really know yet, but we do know one thing. We're now in a rising interest rate environment. That's not good for the bond market. It's not good for bond funds. We've already talked about that. They are in harm's way. They're already selling off, and a lot of those bond funds are now entering into a bear market, and they're only going to go lower as interest rates go higher. Okay, now, the second area of the market, tech. There's one wave of, or one area of tech that I call spec tech. That's the more speculative tech. That's the robo-taxis and the Bitcoin miners and the EV, electrical vehicles, and the charging companies that will be charging these electric cars someday. That's another area, very, 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 very vulnerable. It's already in a bear market, but now it's spreading to more mainstream tech, more of the NASDAQ 100-type stocks. As I look at probably 1,000 charts a day across the board of the market from all walks of life, I just don't see good charts at all that are very encouraging at all of a huge rebound in the NASDAQ. I actually own, as a hedge in the portfolios that I manage, an inverse ETF or two against some of these vulnerable areas of the market. There are inverse ETFs. There's the long side of the NASDAQ, the QQQ. If the NASDAQ goes up, you go up with it. There's the inverse side of the NASDAQ ETF, which is PSQ. As the NASDAQ goes down, it goes up. It did really well on Thursday. It hasn't done well over the last decade as the NASDAQ has continued to hit new highs. But now there's a sea change. There's the sea change in interest rates. I know a lot of people doubt. That's all they know is investing in tech stocks. They don't know anything else. Okay, and they're going to continue to invest in tech stocks. I'm also a frequent writer for Seeking Alpha. Seeking Alpha is one of the biggest websites, most visited websites in the world on stocks and on investing. And there's about 8,800 people that they track. Tip Ranks, a service called Tip Ranks, tracks the different writers and the performance of the stories, the stocks, the markets that they write about. Out of 8,500, something like that, I'm ranked number 297. I'm in the upper 2 or 3%. A lot of people disagree with me when I put out an article. In March of 2019, at the worst part of COVID, I said it's time to go all into the market. The market has already priced in COVID. It's looking ahead to future earnings. You see, the market looks ahead a couple of years. The average investor looks at yesterday, today, tomorrow. Market looks ahead a couple of years. And I was right. The market went on to double from that point in time, March of 2019. It was the fastest doubling of the market in the history of the market. Then I started to warn a year ago about rising interest rates and what that's going to mean. It's going to be detrimental for the Teladocs of the world, for the Rivians of the world, for the high PE stocks. What's a high PE stock? Well, right now, I consider anything over 15 or 16, believe it or not, to be a high PE stock. We'll get to that in a minute. Well, where are you going to find stocks that are trading at low PEs in this market? Oh, there's a lot of sectors that should do well in this rising interest rate environment, but I don't think the prospects for the NASDAQ or tech are very good. I wrote an article a month ago about why the ARK fund continues to get clobbered and why it's going to continue to get clobbered. This past week, I wrote an article about why the NASDAQ continues to come unraveled. It was up at 16,000. Now it's at 14,000. I don't like the prospects going forward because the P.E. ratio of the NASDAQ is much greater than the other indexes. You can look up my article. It had the usual naysayers and tomato throwers, but for the most part, I think people agreed with me. They realized there's something wrong with the NASDAQ and the high P.E. stocks. Well, what does well in a rising interest rate environment? Well, not only do we have a rising interest rate environment, we have an inflationary environment. What's the number one sector in the market so far in 2022? The energy sector by far, the oil and gas sector. Oil is now at $92 per barrel, and there doesn't look like there's any relief in sight. And there's some of the big firms like Goldman Sachs, et cetera, calling for prices of oil north of $100 per barrel. You see, oil does well in an inflationary environment, and we have these supply chain constraints. We have all of this demand coming back now that it seems like Omicron is just about blown through the world. And we probably have some clear sailing now for a while in the economy. In vacationing and traveling, etc., this is going to put heavy demand on oil. We're also cutting back on oil production around the world as the world tries to transfer, to shift, to transition to renewable types sources of energy. But that's going to take time. There's going to continue to be a squeeze, in my opinion, on energy. Look at what's going on in Europe with the huge spike in natural gas prices. They're heating. Look at the big spike in electricity in the most recent CPI report. And most of the big oil stocks have low P.E. ratios, 8, 9, 10, and they pay big dividend yields. The banks like a rising interest rate environment. It gives them more room to move. It gives them a better profit margin. They can lend out money at higher rates on the money that people deposit with the banks. The banks are starting to take off. Now, they haven't outperformed the tech stocks in a long, long time. I would say this year you'll see the bank index outperform the NASDAQ, okay? Well, there's some other sectors of the market right now that are starting to take off. The market is upside down. What worked over the last couple of years is not working this year. We've seen a big, big shift here. Are you on the right side or the wrong side of this? Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review. This is Bill Gunderson, professional money manager for the last 23 years. To the public, I run a virtual office. We started that model a long time ago, way, 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 way before COVID, because we have our radio show is heard in many cities around the country. But I've always done all my business virtually. That's just an easier way to do business. It's faster. It's more efficient. You don't have to drive downtown to some big tall building and fight traffic and fight for a parking spot and, you know, wander up in a crowded elevator to the top floor of some high-rise downtown. You meet with us virtually. I have certified financial planners on staff. We have a chartered financial analyst. I do the money management part of the equation. I run six portfolios, actually. We have a best ETFs now portfolio also. And we would love to talk with you, especially if you're a little worried. I mean, take a look at your portfolio here. Maybe this weekend if you get a chance before the Super Bowl, maybe during the Super Bowl, who knows? You can see how your bond funds got clobbered this past week, and the prospects don't look very good going forward for bond funds. They don't do well in a rising interest rate environment. If you're convinced, like I am, that inflation is a big problem, we do have an inflation problem. Yes, I know there are those that say we don't have an inflation problem. Well, you know, when I look at 1,000 charts a day, when I see corn ETFs breaking out to the upside, soybean ETFs, copper ETFs, aluminum ETFs, aluminum stocks, on and on, food stocks, grain, etc., I think we have a pretty bad inflation problem, and it's going to take some pretty draconian measures, in my opinion, to get it under control. And what's the number one weapon that the Fed uses to fight inflation? Interest rates. They use monetary policy. So that is a problem. It's a problem for asset classes that don't like rising interest rates, and we already went through those, okay? Bond funds. Very high tech, future tech, and really mainstream tech is now getting involved. Now, there are some tech stocks that still have low P.E. ratios. I can think of Micron. I can think of Seagate Technologies. There's a few, but for the most part, the tech stocks have pretty high P.E. ratios. And we're seeing those multiples being reined in right now with rising interest rates, and that's one of the main reasons that those stocks are going down. And as interest rates continue to go higher, those multiples are going to continue to be reined in. Okay, so we talked about a couple of sectors that do well. We talked about the energy sector. We talked about the bank sector. Well, financials in general do well in a rising interest rate environment. Like the banks, many of them hold a lot of cash. They're going to earn more on their cash. They're going to earn more on the money that they lend. They're going to receive higher rates back on that money that they lend out. And for the most part, the financials are also trading in the low multiple, low PE ratio range, 12, 13, 14, 15, around in there, not the 35s, the 40s, the 55s. Tesla's still trading at 130 times earnings. By contrast, Ford, which is also getting in the electric business big time, is trading at about 12 times earnings versus 130 for Tesla. I'm just saying that this is not a good environment for high PE stocks. It favors low PE stocks. In general, if you have a 401k, generally speaking, you have a choice between growth funds, growth ETFs, or usually there's a value counterpart. The values stocks, in my opinion, are going to do much better in the coming years as interest rates continue to go higher because they have lower PE multiples and they're not as vulnerable to rising interest rates, which rein in those high PE stocks. And I know that robo-taxis are more exciting than insurance stocks, but the insurers also do very well. There's insurance ETFs. There's insurance mutual funds. There's a lot of insurance stocks out there. Chubb comes to mind. Aflac comes to mind. Look at the charts of those stocks. They look like the spec tech stocks did back in 2019. Back in 2019, it was spec tech that was leading the world, was leading the market, was hitting new highs. Now they're hitting new lows. What a difference a couple years makes. And guess what's hitting new highs? Low PE tech or low PE oil and gas stocks. Chevron, for instance. Low PE banks. A lot of them. A lot of banking ETFs hitting new all-time highs. Or 52-week highs. The financial stocks. Look at some of these charts like Raymond James and Schwab and others like that. The insurance stocks, AIG, Aflac, they're hitting new highs while SpecTech's hitting new lows. In addition to that, we have a big boom taking place in commodity prices. And the commodity stocks are doing quite well. Whether it be BHP, whether it be Rio Tinto, whether it be Vail, whether it be Freeport-McMoRan, you can go on and on and on. Alcoa burst to higher new highs this past week as aluminum prices soaring. And the supply is drying up, okay? I think we have a stockpile of 3 days of copper right now. Copper is a main ingredient. Drives the economy. The oil inventories continue to shrink. That's very bullish for the prices. Demand is there. Supply is not there. We have constrained supply chains almost everywhere you look. Lumber prices are going up. Well, investing in commodity type, natural resource types of mutual funds, ETFs, etc., is also a very favorable area. And I also have hedged my portfolios with some inverse funds against the vulnerable areas. There's inverse bond funds. There's inverse NASDAQ funds, etc. So a lot of ways to deal with this new paradigm in the market. A good way to start, take a look at my newsletter this week. I've been writing it for 22 years. I offer out 2 free weeks at GundersonCapital.com. And if you're in a panic and in a hurry to talk to someone, call us, 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.